that big of a follower at all, then I think you probably already picked the one that you think.
Okay, I'm Chairman Brad Holt, and I'm gonna be calling the meeting back to order. This is a continuation of a public hearing that we had a couple days ago. It's concerning case CU 2025-002-APL. So with that, could we have Arbi bring us up to speed of how we find ourselves, where we're at this morning, and whether the conditions of whether there's any public testimony left or not, and go from there.
Good morning. My name is Arbi. I'll be presenting the Bighorn Traffic Services Appeal, case number CU 2025-002-APL, for a contractor shop and staging area. The appellant requests that the Board of County Commissioners overturn the denial of the case. So the appellant wishes to establish a contractor shop and staging area on that parcel. So as previously heard, the Planning and Zoning Commissioners denied their request based off of criteria 4 and 7. The applicant submitted an appeal, which was then heard on April 14th, where the board heard the applicant's arguments and public testimony, which was also closed on that date. I do want to clear the record as far as the code enforcement violation that was opened on that property for Bighorn Traffic Services. However, when the code enforcement officer did a site visit to look into those claims, they found that there were no operations happening during that time, so that code enforcement case was closed. Another code enforcement violation was submitted yesterday, stating Bighorn is operating on site without the approval. Those claims have not been investigated yet from the code enforcement officers. There was deliberation on the case, but a decision was not made. Based on the deliberations and direction from the board, the conditions have been modified, which the commissions can alter if needed. So for conditions 1 through 3, they have not changed. The applicant shall comply with all laws and meet the conditional use permit time limitations, and the permit is non-transferable. Condition 4 is in regards to complying with the letter of intent and site plan, such as the hours of operation and number of employees. What was modified is the removal of the 24-hour operations on the property and adds restrictions to the use, such as restricting the use of heavy equipment, backup alarms, manufacturing on the property, and the ability to expand or modify the use within the county. Condition 7B was added to make it clear that the requirement is to pave the entirety of the half-circular driveway. And as heard in the previous hearing, there are some lighting concerns. So Bighorn can utilize the west driveway as an ingress and the east driveway as an egress to avoid having headlights in the neighbor's window. A fence shall be installed to obscure the staging area and contractor shop on all sides in accordance with Exhibit 7, which I had included in you guys' packet yesterday. The remainder of the conditions are the same. The applicant provided comments to the conditions and would prefer to keep the 24-hour operations. However, not a deal breaker if the commissioners decide to remove that condition, but also wanted some clarification as to the 6 p.m. deadline, if that has any flexibility due to the nature of their job, if they do need to come on site a little after 6 due to circumstances that they don't have in their control, if that's a possibility. And then in regards to the fencing condition, having that fence installed on the northern property line might be a site obstruction and should be vetted with the highway district. The Board of County Commissioners may approve the appeal, deny the appeal, or table the hearing to request additional information. The applicant would also like the opportunity to meet with the neighbors to agree on conditions. If this is done, it would require the hearing to be tabled to a date uncertain, and the applicant would need to pay noticing fees, and this would also reopen public testimony. Thank you. I will now stand for any questions.
Arbi, when did the applicant ask for to be able to meet with the neighbors? Was that within the last few days?
It was yesterday.
Okay. All right. That's new information for me. Let's see, you, the other commissioners.
I have no questions, Mr. Chairman. What she's outlined is what I thought we were giving her direction to bring back. The only comment I would have on the 6 p.m. is I would still think, even though operations end at 6 p.m., if you had to come in to park a work truck and then grab your own personal vehicle to leave, that should be sufficient. It's not you're showing up after 6 o'clock and grabbing a work truck to leave. That would still be considered operation, in my opinion, not bringing the truck back to get your own. So I'm okay with how it's written.
Okay.
Chairman?
Yes.
I just want clarification, Dan or Arbi, on that what I heard proposed on there, which I agree with Commissioner Brooks, is essentially the discussion that we had for consideration at the end of the last hearing. But whether it's the headlights, the side obstruction, the asphalt, the flexibility, the cars in and out, code enforcement, that's a potential violation, most of those are going to require either a formal complaint be filed by the neighbors, or that code enforcement is regularly monitoring the activities on this site to ensure that those are in compliance, even down to backup beepers, hours of operation, any of that. And I just would like a verbal response on the record. I can see that you're in agreement with what I'm saying, but.
Chairman, Commissioner Van Beek, that is correct. So the public can submit a code enforcement violation if they are operating outside of those hours, or if they do have beepers on the back of their trucks. That's something the public can submit.
So the chair, to add on to that, so there's only certain conditions that we'll check at the time of building permits. So making sure they have the appropriate permits from other agencies, fencing, things like that, that we would be reviewing before they can commence that use. However, there's other things that are just ongoing. And the only way, similar to our Canyon County code, somebody has to report that violation. Our code enforcement goes and sees if it's valid or not. If it is, then we issue a citation or a violation. The good thing about a conditional use permit, if there's an ongoing, you know, complaints and they're validated and they're not making efforts to clean that up or amend that, then we have the next step of bringing it back before the hearing body to undo it, basically, to get rid of it. So there is mechanisms that would allow this use to cease if they can't meet their conditions consistently.
Chairman, I have a question, and it's just more expanded discussion on the potential. So there was concern raised that if the board did not condition this, that the city would potentially acquire the intermediate parcel and then it would be contiguous. And do we have any more information on NAMPA's timeline on when that would potentially play out, or how much basis in the argument do we give to potential considerations versus what's actually there?
Through the chair, so I'll try to answer as best as I can. So what I heard was, right now it's in the county, it's not in the city, and so it's before you to make a decision. If this weren't to go through, they have an option to try to annex it into the city. And if they were to do that, they would have to purchase or get a lease or something from that owner to make that connect to the jurisdiction so they can annex. Right now they don't touch, so they can't annex. And so, and the city doesn't do involuntary, you know, annexations right now, so it would have to be voluntary. They would have to apply and demonstrate that they can be annexed. During that process, depending on the use, they would have to rezone. It would have to meet their comp plan. If they needed a special use permit, they would do that at that time and add their conditions to it. The thing that's different between our code and their code, they already have codes in there that have restrictions for, you know, they have performative standards, making sure certain emissions don't exceed a certain amount. They have fencing standards and landscaping standards and improvement standards that would meet city requirements at that time if they want that use, and they would determine that through that hearing process. The time frame is all based on the applicant wanting to submit that over there and the time it takes for them to do that. Staff wouldn't know how long it would take to purchase a property and be able to connect to that or touch city jurisdiction before they can even apply. So.
Yep. Chairman, follow-up. And with that, Dan, on the performance standards, the landscaping standards, the fencing standards, those standards right now are not a part of county code, correct?
Correct.
Correct. That's why we have usually standard conditions we apply to these kind of conditional use permits that either in this case there's landscaping standards that mimic the city's, you know, so we did get comments from the city. We tried to look at the area to see what improvements would be necessary based on if there's a nexus, if there's an impact that could be minimized through this improvement. So we've added those for you. They would be different than the city's. So we don't have in our code a noise ordinance. We just don't. We don't have an emissions, you know, ordinance. They do. So unless they asked us to match that, we didn't. We looked at the case and what the intent is and put conditions that would reasonably provide a reasonable response to that impact. Again, this is just our recommendations based on what we see. At the end, the board gets the final decision how that's modified, removed, or added on to.
So I'd like to pursue, Arbai, would you bring up the slide, or I don't know if you had it as a slide, about the applicant would be willing to try to meet with the neighbors over these proposed conditions? Because I'm comfortable with the proposed conditions the way they are. I'm just curious if you would go over that part again.
Chairman, so in that email correspondence I had with the applicant yesterday, one of them was them requesting that potentially be tabling the hearing to allow for them to engage with the neighbors, to have those conditions be better fleshed out so there's kind of some middle ground between the two uses, just so there isn't excessive conditions, but also conditions that can be, that are either mitigating the concerns of the neighbors, that will also help the neighbors as well. And then, so I guess being neighborly overall, just to kind of come to a middle ground.
Okay. And then we would have to open up for public testimony whatever those proposed mitigations are.
If it's to a date uncertain, that is correct, yeah.
So, yeah, that would allow us to post it like we normally do once we get a date, once the applicant has. So you could request them that they meet with the neighbors through maybe another neighborhood meeting, vet out the conditions. And at the end, they'll send us what those conditions are, what they are amendable to. We'll add that to the website with a new date, which they have to pay for the re-noticing for that. That would open up the public hearing. Staff would recommend if you'd go through that, limit the public hearing to what you need.
Yeah.
So refine it to just conditions that are being reviewed, because you already went through the testimony for
sure.
This should and shouldn't. This is just to see if there's conditions that could be better worded or added or subtracted that would make this a better project. And then that would be brought before you. Testimony would be just based on that only. And then you can close it and decide if that was enough or not enough or just what you needed, you know. So that's an option. But if you have everything you need, you can make a decision today, of course.
I would personally like to see that done. If they're willing to try to work with their neighbors to mitigate and make it work for both sides, I'd rather see that than us to proceed, because this is the foundation that they're going to start their discussions off of. I'd like to hear more.
Yeah.
You guys can sway me a different direction.
And Chairman, we have to process out loud here. This one is a difficult decision. If we go that route, I would encourage citizens to also contact the city of Nampa to look at potentially, you don't know what you don't know, and so to weigh the what's considered, I guess, or expressed, the lesser of two evils in that. This area is clearly a residential area, and people coming in wanting to locate a business in a rural residential area changes the nature and the character of that. It also is against the recommending bodies. It also, there's a lot of tentacles attached to this, and people trying to retrofit a decision in an area that's not zoned for that is frustrating.
The trouble is, it is zoned for that. When the 2030 comprehensive plan did the magic brush of everything being agriculture, that opened the door for this property owner under a CUP to attempt to do this. And that's why it's called conditional use permit. You would put on conditions. And so I would see it different than what the way you spoke it. Before the 2030 plan, this wasn't that easy to pull off. But since that, it is.
Right. And there's unintended consequences. That is a good point that you raise. But the board does have discretion in looking at and evaluating the criteria. I felt like the planning and zoning did a good job on the criteria there. And there's still the road infrastructure, so traffic mitigation is one of those. I don't know how we get around that without requiring a turn lane, which is not in our lane. So there's a lot of things that I think we could argue that would make it difficult. And I will say, just for the record, I'm in farming. We have friends that farm our property, and on that yesterday when they had equipment to spray, we had a big discussion in the yard about wind speed and all of that, and that interface of two things coming together, whether it's residents and agriculture or whether it's staging areas with rural residential, it's sometimes just a stretch to make it fit.
So I might see it a little different than you. Arbai, can you pull up the map that is an aerial that shows the area? It may not be a map. It might be a picture. There you go. So I'm going to call up. There's two lots. I would call them three. So R3675, R3673, and R3672 is approximately, it's a little bit more, but it's approximately the same square footage area as the land area we're talking about. My point being is, if you did that the same density that it is across the street to the north, you could have between 5 and 7 houses, no problem. And if you do the day trips that those 7 houses would have, this land use under the conditions is less than the impact that those residents could be if this parcel is developed out as tight as it could get. So I hear what the people are saying, and they want to keep their neighborhood. But if we duplicate their neighborhood, their argument about day trips is mute. So I'm trying to keep property rights balanced, their rights, the rights of this property owner, the current CUP possibilities. And I'm comfortable with where we're at on the conditions proposed since Arbai brought it back to us. But I'm also interested in neighbors being neighbors, and if there was a way for them to get together and mitigate what we proposed that would better work for both sides, I'm willing to set this on the table and let them attempt to do that and then bring it back in a future date certain.
Yeah, and Chairman, I think there's a lot of wisdom in negotiated agreements you get with two parties that buy in with conditions. There's a higher success rate, that's statistically proven. So my concern is that there's compliance on the part of the person coming in. There would have to be some honorable conditions met. Otherwise, we're setting this up for, this will be ripe for some kind of civil mediation or negotiation in that, which I really don't, we don't get into that.
I'm all of the stuff I'm doing, of course, anybody can sue anybody about anything. But I don't see that I have any legal exposure at all about what we're discussing or proposing, or I would bring it up. So again, we're trying to balance the property rights between the people that exist in the community and the property rights of this parcel. And that's what I'm trying to weigh with the CUP.
Mm-hmm.
And so you haven't weighed in on this. What say you, Commissioner Brooks?
Mr. Chairman, I want to confirm again. The applicant has come to us requesting us to table this to go talk to the... Or that's an option that's being proposed.
Chairman, Commissioner Brooks, that is correct. The applicant did, in a way, request that, and it is one of the decision options you guys have before you today.
Okay. So, Mr. Chairman, with that being said, I don't need any further information, but if you would like more information to have what you have discussed, I would support you making that motion.
Yep.
Okay. You okay with that?
Yep.
All right, Dan, help me out because I need the legal terms. I would make a motion then that we table this to allow the applicant and the neighborhood to meet together over the current draft of conditions and to see if they need to be mitigated one way or the other to better serve both parties simultaneously and to... realize that this application is going to come back to us. It's being tabled, and we don't have the date certain today of what that will be. That will have to be posted, and the cost of that incurred by the applicant.
I recommend this, Commissioner, that we do it in the sense of our code for neighborhood meeting. So our neighborhood meeting says they have to notice neighbors within 600 feet, and now it's up. The applicant can go talk to people in the audience and get more addresses if they want, but. Let's put some parameters on it that we have code on 600 feet. They can fill out, like they did at the neighborhood meeting, fill out a who attended this meeting and things like that. And then the whole idea is to work out a conditions of approval for this use. Once they have that and they say it's done and they provide us information about that, we can then schedule it and plus the fee to reschedule it. Once we get a new date, it'll open up the deadline again for comments just for those conditions so the neighbors can. Or people with concerns can still say that's not enough, or they can say that's not what we discussed, this is what we wanted, or that's exactly what we said. And then they can, at that point, at that hearing, we can bring back a little addendum saying this is what happened, at least the information we got back. You get to review that with the conditions that have been modified or not modified. And then there's testimony based on those conditions only at that hearing, and then closed public testimony, and then you get to make your decision. Does that sound fair?
Sounds fair, but I'm at a loss of how to put that into a motion. I agree with everything that you said. The only thing that I'm not in agreement with is I always like sunsets on anything. And so if the applicant doesn't come back with anything different or new, and what is it, 60 days or 90 days, what would you say?
I think they really want to get this done, so I'm sure they want to get this done as fast as possible. But I say after, if we don't hear back in 90 days, we'll reschedule it and just say there's no new information.
And then make a final decision. Okay. Jenin, do you have any way to put that into a motion, or have you typed any of that? You don't know what you'd say. All right. So the...
Mr. Chairman, I would just suggest that you make a motion to table this for 90 days, and then any subsequent discussion on it, you can put after it's seconded, just discuss the motion. I think partly what you've put into the motion was discussion on the motion.
I see.
I think you can just state what you want, table it 90 days, we'll come back.
Okay.
And then... Okay, anything after that, you can just discuss.
Thank you for your clarity.
That's a good idea.
Okay, so I would make a motion that we table this for 90 days, and at the end of that time period, then we will set a date and rehear this, or if we have new information, staff will advertise the new information. We'll deal with it. But either way, in 90 days, we'll relook at this.
And I will second that with discussion, and it will include the renoticing and everything that you've talked about.
So I think how Chairman and Commissioner Brooks put it, maybe it'd be best to have the 90 days a set day. And if they bring back the information, then we can reschedule it at that point for a date, you know, a new date, which would come with, comes with noticing and all that. But if nothing happens, then we still have that 90 days out that they,
okay,
we didn't get anything, and then we have a date, and we don't have to re-notice that. We can just come back saying nothing happened. What do you want to do?
Yeah. Okay.
So I say, I suggest finding a date certain for 90 days out, and then...
Let's, you'd be back in office August 5th.
I can, yeah.
Because that's 3 months. That's 90 days-ish. It's just over.
Okay.
Okay, so the we will table this for 90 days, rehearing this, reopening where we're at on August 5th. And do we have anything on that for a time?
Do August 10th.
I'd rather that all three commissioners be here since we all three have heard it. Okay.
That's a Monday.
So let's put it on. Do we have anything on August 11th already or not?
Legal staff, so
you could do it at 11 o'clock on Tuesday, or you could do it after campus and then after the weekend, or you
go to work and do it at 12. Let's do 10:30. Let's do 10:30 that day. Do 10:30 on August 10th.
We can saw legal off if we have to.
I mean 11th.
And through the chair, I just think if we're coming back with nothing, then nothing really changes, and you can just pick up where you left off kind of thing. But if they come in and submit the fees to renotice and all that, then that date kind of goes away. It's whenever we get that renotice date.
Okay. All right.
Thanks, Dan.
Okay. So set it to 10:30 August 11th. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Do you agree on seconding the motion to modify it?
I will modify the second the modified motion, or motion. You can have a motion in there if you want, but.
All right. Are we clear?
Yep.
All right. Any other discussion? All right. Motion's been made and seconded. All those in favor say aye.
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 Aye. Motion carries unanimous. So we will be adjourned until the August date. Thank you.